Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. There's no better role model for motherhood than Mary, who struggled as a single mom with several children, including her firstborn, Jesus, the Son of God. Her calling as a mom shows us how crucial motherhood is. Today, more about that high calling. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a 10-part series on fighting for your family. Listen now as Dr. Lutzer comes again to speak on a mother's high calling.
Is not this the carpenter's son of Mary and his brother James, Joseph, Judas, and Simeon? And are not his sisters here with us? These are all four half-brothers for sure, at least two sisters, because it's mentioned plural. She was managing a household with Jesus as the oldest and six other children. Can you imagine what that was like? Who punched Simeon? James. I think it was Jesus that punched Simeon. Are you sure? No, Mom, it wasn't Jesus. I mean, he never lied. He never punched anybody out. He told the truth. He never stole anything. And he's this righteous older brother. And she's managing this household, and the Bible says that his brothers didn't believe on him even when his ministry begins. Now, that's one I'm not going to turn to, but you can write it down, the opening verses of the 7th chapter of John. They say to him rather sarcastically, well, why don't you go up to the feast and show the miracles you can do there? Because if you stay here, nobody's going to see these miracles. And John says, and this they said because even his brothers did not believe in him. And Mary has to manage this. It gets worse. You'll notice in the 3rd chapter of Mark, we have a remarkable in Mark, I think. We have a remarkable story where evidently members of his family think that he is insane. You'll notice in chapter 3, I'm in verse 20. Then he went home and the crowd gathered again so that they could not even eat. And when the family heard it, they were out to seize him, for they were saying, he's out of his mind. He's out of his mind. Here's our brother, and look at what he's doing. He has all these large crowds. He is making all of these stupendous claims, and we know we ate with him. We played with him in the playpen. How can this be? And they want to rescue him from the crowd, which verses later says that he is beside himself because he has a demon. So let's pick up the story now a little later on. It says in verse 31, and his mother and his brothers came. They want to take him. I don't think that Mary ever doubted who her son was, but who knows the role that she was playing in this controversy. They were standing outside. They sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. Does he say, okay, Mom, I'll come over and talk with you, and I'll connect with my brothers? No. He answered them, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking around at those who were around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers, and whoever does the will of my father, he is my brother, he's my sister. He had sisters too, and my mother. Thank you very much. And Jesus kind of blows them off. They don't understand. And Mary is there trying to navigate all of this tension that develops because this child was not only precocious, he was a divine child, and he refused to fit the mold, and they didn't know what to do with him. Now, of course, the sword finally enters into her heart and hits the most sensitive place of who she was. When Jesus is being crucified, Mary shows up again. Joseph is not in the picture. Virtually everybody, and I believe this to be true too, believes that early on Joseph died. He's simply not a part of the picture. She has this blended family. She has this remarkable firstborn. She's got at least six other kids. And now Jesus is dying, and she is there. She'd have gladly traded places with him, but she knew that that wouldn't have worked because he was the Redeemer and she wasn't. As a matter of fact, she also knew that she had to be redeemed by her son, as the Magnificat indicates, where it says so clearly, it says, "I rejoice in God my Savior." She also was a sinner who needed to be redeemed. And there she is. She could have gone to the authorities and says, "He's insane. Take him down from the cross." But she doesn't interfere with the divine will because she knows enough that the divine will is being accomplished there. But she's there, and she is not only watching him die, she is watching him die an excruciating death. And none of his brothers, so far as we know, are mentioned as being anywhere around. And the mother bears the sorrow alone. The sword had come to her, and what a sword it was. The joys of parenting, the challenges of parenting, the exhilaration and opportunity of parenting, but also the tremendous amount of sorrow that you sign up for oftentimes when you become a mother. Mothering is not easy. It's not easy. What I'd like to do is to wrap all this up by helping us understand three life-changing lessons that will be an encouragement to mothers, but to all of us ultimately, and to help us to understand the divine calling that God puts upon a single life, a single baby. First of all, it's very clear that motherhood is the highest calling. It is the highest calling. I'm sure that there's not a mother that is listening today that doesn't agree that parenting a child is important. Is it important? Oh, yes, it is important. What they often don't see is that it is ultimately important, massively important. Many don't get that. I realize, of course, that there are many, because of tragic circumstances, who have to work outside the home, many mothers, sometimes single moms, sometimes because of other reasons. There are also those who thankfully can work, but they can work from within the home rather than outside the home. So it's not my intention to load people with guilt. Every situation is different. What I'd like to be able to say is that those who are struggling, especially the single moms, may we as a church come together and stand with them and help them in the parenting process by the giving of ourselves, by representing family to them and being there for them. I can't think of any job that would be more lonely than to be an adult with children and you come home and there's nobody, no adult to talk to. God bless you, single moms. But nonetheless, I am going to read a passage from what Selma Freiberg wrote. "I worry about babies and small children who are delivered like packages to neighbors, to strangers, to storage homes. In the years when a baby and his parents make their first enduring human partnerships, when love, trust, joy, and self-evaluation emerge through the nurturing love of human parents, millions of small children in our land may be learning values for survival in our baby banks. They may learn the rude justice of the communal playpen. They may learn that the world outside the home is an indifferent world or even hostile. They may learn that adults are interchangeable, that love is capricious, human attachment is perilous, and that love should be hoarded for the self in the service of survival." Again, I must say it, and you can receive it, and let me emphasize again that God's grace covers all kinds of mistakes, all kinds of them. But all the indications are, the studies, that that bonding of a baby and its mother, if that is not a close, loving, secure bonding, the child will feel the effects when they go into their marriage, their inability to be able to bond permanently, and on it goes. Mothering is not just important. It is supremely important. And you and your family have to figure out exactly what that means for you, because it may look different in every home. But remember, God says, "This is my child. Rear him or her for me." Nothing more important than that. Secondly, The rewards of motherhood. Oh, you've been waiting for that. You've been waiting patiently. You're saying, where's the reward? The rewards of parenthood are often delayed. When Mary is there at the crucifixion of Jesus, that's the best Jesus can do to take care of his mom, but it must have warmed her heart. Woman, behold your son, points at John. John, that's your mother. And the Bible says from that moment, Mary went into John's home. John said, okay, I received a commission from Jesus to take care of you. And I'm sure that he took care of Mary for the rest of her life. So even there was a reward. And maybe this is a good opportunity for me to give you an assignment. This week, affirm to your mother how much she means to you. Rebuild that relationship. I can't do that anymore. I used to always call my mother on Mother's Day, and these days, heaven is not taking my calls. So if your mother is still alive, or find some other mother that needs affirmation and honor her, there are rewards to motherhood. And then you know the story there of how Jesus Christ's brothers did not believe on him, and they're saying, oh, you know, he's out of his mind, let's go seize him. How did that all end? Oh, my friend, that ended beautifully. Yes, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I can't help but refer to the sentence that I just said moments ago in the sermon. The benefits and the glories of motherhood are often delayed. But if you are faithful, you'll be able to look back and say, surely God was faithful. I've known situations in which children seem to be so disobedient, so difficult to work with. And yet because of faithful parenting, they grow up loving God. And it's only when you look back, you can see the marvelous grace of God. So I say to you as a mother and as a father, hang in, continue to be faithful. It will get better. And as you see the grace of God in the lives of your children, you will marvel at all that he has done. Today we're living at a time when the family is being broken up. I grieve for the 20 million children tonight that will go to bed in America with only a single parent. I preach this series of messages with a great deal of conviction. The entire series is called Fighting for Your Family. We're making it available to you, and we're doing that in video format along with a discussion guide so that you can use it in a small group context. Use it in your family. Let me plead with you to finally deal with those issues that perhaps you have been ignoring, issues that are oftentimes swept under the rug. And now I want you to stay tuned for some very important information. Thanks for your prayers and for your support. God bless you.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. We're hearing more of A Mother's High Calling, the second of 10 messages on fighting for your family. No job is as tough as being a single mother. Next time on Running to Win, join us for Erwin Lutzer's thoughts on what the church should do to help these women. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Fighting for Your Family is a video series with a helpful discussion guide for small groups. The DVDs and the guide will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about Fighting for Your Family. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.